T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Steve Garvey should be joining us shortly. I see that the food he's promoting is already doled out.
King's Hawaiian.
Here he comes.
And I guess they have a new ballpark grill over at Yankee Stadium.
Is that what they have?
And I'm getting a little taste test going on right now, and I'm very happy.
I wish I could eat it. Believe me, bro.
I know you can. I know you do. And here he is, the man behind it, the former tremendous baseball player.
Great first baseman, tremendous hitter.
Clutch as
hell. Dodgers, Padres.
Champion.
Keep going.
You want to keep going? Yeah. MVP.
Love it.
Yeah.
You guys accept cash?
Good looking dude.
Oh, no.
All right, we're all in now.
How many hits for you? 2,800? Am I close? 27 something?
2,600.
Yeah, okay.
But if you take out the locks and the lockouts and the strikes. And
that's true.
No, that's true. Close, you did go through a few of those.
But, you know, back when Marvin Miller started in 69 and I became a player representative and we started making strides, you know, to get parity, it was worth the stoppage. You know,
so. And look what you did for all the modern players. You're making them $30 million a year, so they should send you thank you cards every single
day
over that.
People always say, what would you be making now? And I say, well, won MVPs, World Series every other year and so forth, 25 maybe, 27, played every day. Nobody plays every day
anymore. You did play every day. You were one of it. You had a long streak. Now, Ripken was here. It's funny because Ripken was here earlier on the morning show. Yeah. But you had a streak that was closing in, 1,500 at least, right? Something like that?
1,207.
Yeah, okay.
National League record and fourth all time. And I slid into home plate on a pass ball. And Pascual Perez, remember Pascual?
Oh, we forget him. He's still looking for his way to get to where he ballpark in Atlanta.
He's still on I-70
or 80. Right.
And he's straddling the plate, and they never teach you to straddle the plate. You're supposed to be on the pitcher's side so you can tag. And all of a sudden, I come in, and the ball had bounced off a standard, and he's got it. And I'm thinking, should I go into his leg and buckle his leg or slide around? And I decided to be benevolent and slide around and put my hand down and catch his heel and tore the ligament in my thumb, and that was the end of the streak. Mm. And then came back and did about another 200-300 after that, but... But it was what you did, you know.
No question.
It's 162 championship games, and if you're good enough to start, you go out there, and that's part of being a leader and part of setting an example. And the fans, what if one fan came from California, Bakersfield, 4 hours away, once a year with a family, and you didn't play because you had a stomach ache or a little twitch here or there? It's not being a professional. It's not responsibility of the fans.
Yeah.
Boy, this is great timing that we had you on because...
Right. Aaron Judge sits yesterday,
And a lot of Yankee fans have called up today upset about it. You know, why isn't Aaron Judge playing? And basically what we've accepted is that, well, this is modern baseball. And it's in modern baseball, up top, the front office does their analyzation, and their analytics tell them you'll get more production if you give them a rest. I'm sure as a guy who played 162 every year, you hear that and say, are you kidding me? Do you think you would have been more – I'll ask you this. Do you think you would have been more productive, even more so than you already were, if you played 150 games as opposed to 162?
Well, you take the pay cut, right? Number one off the top. But let's face it. You grow up as a kid dreaming. I was a bat boy for the Brooklyn Dodgers in spring training in 56 in Tampa, Florida. Dad was a Greyhound bus driver. I listened to Reese and Hodges – look at the Yankee pitcher and how he's holding the ball for a curveball and a fastball. I had Jackie Robinson literally sit on my lap. I mean, that was my baptism that day. What a great day for a kid. And 12 years later, out of Michigan State, I get drafted by the Dodgers. But I was a bat boy a couple times every spring. So I grew up with my idols and my legends, learning how to play the game, about not sitting on the bench talking about where you were going to go that night, but what the opposition was doing in a meaningless exhibition game in preparation for maybe game 7 between the Yankees and Dodgers, you know, later. So I learned the right way. Learned how to play the game. How often do you see a bunt now for a hit?
Not as
you
often.
Yeah. Right?
No, you don't.
With the shift.
Right.
If you're a power hitter, take what's given you. Drop the ball down. Get on base. Make the pitcher work from a stance there. You know, take advantage of these things instead of, like we were just saying, people said, did you have launch angles back then? Of course we had launch angles. How do you think I hit the ball out of the ballpark? Right, there was a launch angle.
Right.
We just didn't talk about it back then.
Yeah, right.
We didn't talk about the OPS and WAR and all these things. If I would have known that WAR was going to make so much of a difference, I would have walked more, right? I would have done other things. I would have tried for more home runs and maybe hit 40, 45. But my philosophy was address the ball down through it, think right center, get the ball over. I'd get 10 or 12 bunt hits a year. I'd get another 8 or 9 hit and run hits a year. So you do all those little things and manage the bat, so to speak. It's going to be another 25, 30, 40 points in your average, and it's going to add to extra bases and total bases and more runs. So, but now it's about the 3-run homer. It's about the launch angle. Singles don't mean that much anymore. Bunts don't matter. Right. When's the last time anybody put a hit and run on? I'm an old guy talking. Give me a minute. You know?
No, I love it.
I'm there with you,
Steve. I'm preaching to the choir, right?
Oh, absolutely. But because the one thing you also did, and now they don't care, is strikeouts. They say it doesn't matter how often you strike out. You never struck out 100 times.
I average 60-something a year, right? And 600-plus, I'd get 200 hits. 6 out of 7 years, I got 200 hits. Put the ball in play. Make things happen. Put pressure on the defense. Look when games were really meaningful last year. Game 7, Dodger Stadium, they get down. They're not trying to get a run here or there. And they got down early, first couple innings. Mm-hmm. Instead of trying to get a run here, run there, get yourself back in the game, they're still swinging for the fences. So it's tough to break the template when you need to just manufacture runs now.
You know, it's funny. We talk about so this, true. Steve. It is so true, but, you know, you look at the teams that have won championships, those are the teams that strike out the least. Houston, Kansas City a couple years ago.
Absolutely.
These are the teams winning titles. I mean, so I don't get, you know, that it's this big deal. You know, well, it's a home run, it's a walk, it's a strikeout, and a strikeout, you know, is more acceptable than moving a runner over or some kind of a productive out. To me, that's absurd.
So me, myself, and I, you know, if I used to strike out, I took it personally.
I'm sure you did.
I'd beat myself up. Yeah. How can I do that? And if I struck out twice on the same pitch by the same pitcher, I really beat myself up because then I wasn't learning. Mm. You know, I wasn't thinking. I wasn't looking back. And you know, you talk about old black books and so forth. I had it in my mind. How did Seaver try to get me out?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
How
did
Carlton try to get me out?
Right.
How did Candelaria pitch me? The guys I hit. First time up, are they changing against me or are they stubborn? If they're stubborn, I'm going to hit you. But I tell kids, 8 of my 10 biggest hits were to center and right because I stayed on the ball. I didn't pull out. I put it in play. And, you know, ironically, if you're a right-handed hitter, I mean, I'd love to play at Yankee Stadium now. Ball flies out to right.
It flies out. That place, it's a bandbox
now. The way I used
to
go to right, because when you go the other way, you create more backspin.
Right.
You ever anybody say, boy, the wind's blowing out to left today? Never. Hmm. All these ballparks, the ball travels great to right.
And when you played with the Dodgers, that was a tough place to hit home runs. It's a little different now. That was not an easy ballpark to hit the ball out of Dodger Stadium back in the 70s.
Still tough.
Seemed tough at end, though. It did. It seemed tough at end, Steve.
Well, the ball's juice now.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, we had the most home runs ever last year.
Yeah, that's right. No, you're right.
That's why it's a lot easier.
Right.
I saw more home runs at Dodger Stadium that were within 5 feet going over the fence than I ever had at any year.
Right,
Dodger Stadium's in a ravine, so it's low pressure in there. You don't get a lot of wind. First 3 months of the year up until July, it gets damp at night. So it's a pitcher's ballpark. It may say 399 to center, which I think is a joke.
Right.
It's still a tough ballpark.
Yeah.
By the way, on the whole strikeout thing, this was the first month, I think, ever where there were more strikeouts than base hits in baseball, which is alarming.
Read that in Wall Street Journal today and heard it on some other outlets. How can that happen?
Because they don't care about it.
The strikeout is so devalued now.
And
you know,
said it best.
It really is.
You'd strike out twice, you'd be ticked off. Nowadays, guy strikes out 4 times. No, it's okay. Yeah. Oh, I had a home run in the 5th at bat, so it's all right. And I think that the strike, 1 for 5,
probably got a couple RBIs. You got a run scored, right? Goes on your OPS.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
It's crazy. Yeah. So you're probably going to ask me why I'm here.
Well, why are you here? Because I'm hungry.
Well, we know that you got the food out here already, Steve. We were getting to that.
You mean the King's Hawaiian, the great food?
Yeah, there you go.
At Yankee Stadium between home and first at the King's Hawaiian Grill? I knew you were going to ask me that question.
We were.
I was also going to start devouring
there. He's eating it right now. Yeah,
absolutely.
I have Garvey Media Group is a media consulting company, and I get my clients involved in stadiums and arenas. And Kings Hawaiian became a client a couple years ago, and I'm brand ambassador for them. And we decided to expand their food line. We all know about the great rolls and breads. So we came up with barbecue sauces with the concept of capturing summer and going into stadiums. So last year we were at Dodger Stadium, did a King's Hawaiian Grill freestanding building, pulled pork, tri-tip, sliders, wings, dynamic. It tripled the sales of this one building just over the left field pavilion. So, you know, it's a small business, this Major League Baseball, and all of a sudden we started talking with the Yankees, and the Yankees, you know, said, why don't you come visit? And we did. Great marketing guy with King's Hawaiian, Scott Dickens came. And we looked around, and we saw this one spot between home and first, and we said, is it available? He said, yeah. You really like that spot? It's different than what you have? I said, no. We want as many people to try these great foods as possible. And it's been off to a dynamic start. It's really the epicenter of food for Yankee Stadium now. We're at 115 on the concourse and then 335
nice.
On top.
Oh, great.
And what I'm going to do throughout the summer is I had Cecil Fielder with me on opening weekend. And we signed autographs, did a little one-on-one, but I do what we call the Way We Were Tour, where I'll do 45 minutes to an hour with a former legend. Mm. And we'll talk about the way we were. So it's going to be fun this summer. I'll probably do three or four and talk about the old Yankee Dodger days, which to me were the best. It was nothing better than a Yankee Dodger.
Came so close this year, man.
Right?
Mm-hmm. This close. Yeah.
Nobody felt worse than me.
You lost a couple times to him, 77 and 78, the two tough World Series losses to the Yankees.
You bring that up, didn't
well,
you?
I mean, you know.
I consider them upsets.
Well, I tell you, that team you had, I mean, I think of that infield, it was you, it was Lopes, it was Bill Russell, it was Ron Say. You know, you guys were together a long time, you know, and you guys had a battle through because you were in the same era as the Big Red Machine.
Oh.
And they were in your division. Yeah. And you had to get through them as well.
That was a great rivalry.
Yeah.
You talk about rivalries from, say, 73 to 85. Think of the All-Stars on the field every time we played 18 times a year. Sellouts Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in Cincinnati, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday,
right.
Dodger Stadium
right.
because of – and if people say, boy, did you hate each other? No, it was a different time. You know, those Yankee-Dodger World Series, Yankee-Reds rivalry – it was a tremendous amount of respect because of the quality of the teams and the franchises, right? And the managers, too.
Sure.
Like, yeah, you could say Billy was, you know,
right.
was a little
well,
crazy.
Well, Billy was there for the first one, not the second
one. Yeah, but you talk about Sparky and Tommy Lasorda and Walter Alston and that group.
Yep.
It was a different time. It was a respect for the other team because both teams knew how tough it was. And there was no entitlement. It took a long time to get up there. And then once you were there, putting a team together and keeping it together – was the ultimate for an Al Campanis or a GM successful. So it was the golden era. It was great to play in. All things changed somewhat.
Sure.
But you got to be very careful about tinkering too much. So the charm of the game, you know, the timelessness of the game, there's no clock. It's 27 outs, one more run. You don't start tinkering with it, and people start getting distracted because they can go to their phones or their pads or whatever now. Okay, take a little time off between innings, right, or between pitches, but be very careful. Like home plate, the home plate collision.
Oh,
I mean, I'm an old defensive back.
I hate that
catcher had the ball,
right?
Yeah,
you know,
all of a sudden they had signs of O.J. Simpson, you know, coming towards the goal line at Michigan State USC in '67, and you know, a chance to tackle. So you got to be careful.
Well, they're tinkering.
Like that.
That's the problem. They are. Yeah. And they're doing it too much. I mean, you mentioned the home plate collision. The replays change things, too, a little bit because now you've got that pause where you're waiting to see did what just happened really happen or do we have to review it? And then, and I'm sure you're against this idea that they would mess with extra innings and put a runner on second base, that is the most disgusting idea I've heard.
I hated doing it when I had traveling teams with my sons, you know.
Right.
And they'd say it's extra innings the first time. He says, well, we're putting a guy in second. Why?
Yeah, why? Exactly.
Can you buy a runner? Can you give him 20 bucks to the commissioner for that or something like that? But you just got to be careful. And I don't mind the replays. It's good to get it right. What is lost, and I think you guys, nobody really argues anymore. You can't really argue at the umpire on the field. He didn't make the decision.
Right. Yeah. There's only certain things. Balls and strikes, you could still argue.
And you get thrown out of the game immediately when you do.
Exactly.
But you could argue that. You could.
There's a good Pinella kicking dirt and throwing bases, you know.
So kind true.
Or Tommy Lasorda. Tommy coming out and he had that tobacco and he'd start yelling and the tobacco juice would be flying all over the place.
The Billy,
too. The game is more sanitized a little bit.
Compared to that.
And you know, and I grew up in that era, Steve. So, like I said, I grew up watching baseball from like 61 on. And, you know, I mean, look, like, I agree with you because, you know, to me, that's when I grew up. That was the golden age of baseball. Going into the 70s, it was a different world back then. Different world.
Oh, sure. Free agency came along.
Yep.
And Al Campanis is the great general manager of the Dodgers, to his tribute. He kept us together through free agency till about the 82, 83.
Right.
The beginning of free agency. And so that's why the infield was together 8.5 years. Yeah. Somebody said, will that record ever be broken? I said, it can't be. Yeah. The business changed.
Yeah, it'd be tough.
And you can't keep
one
guy on a team, you know, eight years unless you sign him to a 7-year contract now.
Right.
And that's going by the wayside because analytics are dictating. Oh, wait a minute.
No doubt.
4 years. It's be 4 years.
Yeah.
Right? And what? 70-something guys were down working out at IMG in Florida, hopefully trying to get a job.
Right.
It's going to have an effect in this season somehow, some way. Check your favorite analyst at the end of the season and see how it affected him.
We're talking to the great Steve Garvey. How sweet was it to finally beat the Yankees? You did it in 81. I don't want to say wipe away 77 and 78, but at least ease any pain from that by sticking it and beating the Yankees to win a championship.
Well, time was running out for our group. You know, contracts were up in 83, you know, for most of us. Davey Lopes, 82, so he was gone the next year. So we had one shot. And you think about destiny. You know, we had, I mean, starting in 73, we had a great run.
You did.
But time's running out. I thought 77 was our best team. Yankees still beat us. And all of a sudden, we get off to a decent start, you know, in 81, and then
the strike
and lockout.
Yep.
And then we have the first NLDS.
Right.
And we jump off to a 0-2 deficit there, come back and win. And then we got the home field advantage against Montreal and NLCS. We lose one of those two. Now we got to go to Montreal. Remember when it was 3 out of 5?
Three out of five was
much more difficult.
Sure.
Because you could have the better team and have two well-pitched games by the other team and be in jeopardy.
No question.
So we get behind. We lose game three. I hit a home run in the eighth, game four. Now we got a rain out. And then we win that big game with Rick Monday's home run.
Yeah.
But we came from idea. Now, no off day, come to Yankee Stadium, lose the first two. And, of course, the media has us down, lost again, win three great games in L.A., come back, and game six is that destiny. But going back to 77, when Reggie hits the last home run and he rounds first and I look at him and he winks and I clapped in my glove and I smiled at him.
Did you?
Because you got to recognize greatness.
Yeah.
After the game, Dick Young, the old columnist, came up and he said, did you clap in your glove? I said, yeah. He said, I've never seen that before. That's the dangest thing I've ever seen. I said, Dick, if you can't recognize greatness, then you'll never achieve it because that's what it takes.
Mm.
Fast forward, two out, bottom of the ninth, 81, game six, Reggie's at first. You can see it. It's shown a lot. And he's talking to him, and he says, Garb, it's your turn now. Congratulations. And he pats me on the behind.
Wow.
Next pitch, Steve Howe, ball goes to center. Kenny Landro catches it. And now all your childhood dreams come true.
Sure.
All your adult goals come true because as a team sport player, winning a world championship Super Bowl is the ultimate. So, quick addendum, what happens? You run to the mound. Steve Yeager picks up Steve Howe. I come jumping in, highest sleep I've ever had. It's a great shot in Sports Illustrated. What people don't know is we all come down, Yeager spins Howe. Hal clocks me with his elbow in my chin. I'm staggered. My hat falls off. And now, of course, it's where Yankee Stadium. You know what's happening. People are running on the field.
Right.
I'm thinking, I got to get my hat.
Right.
I somehow grab my hat, and you can see me fight my way through, and I get to the tunnel and literally have to hold on to the wall. If I didn't have this Irish jaw, I would have been out cold on the mound at Yankee Stadium in the pinnacle of my career.
Oh, man.
And you know what would have happened in New York, right? A car on the Long Island Expressway, it gets, you know, runs out of gas. You come back 10 minutes later and it's stripped. I would have been,
New Jersey would have been gone.
Everything would have been gone. I would have been laying on the mound.
Yeah.
But
that's amazing.
But again, you know, Reggie and I having those two moments years apart, but realizing that That sweet spot in time was his and then mine.
Did you ever, because Reggie got you three times. He got you in Oakland too, and ended two times with the Yankees. So
didn't
did you,
I pay you enough before this?
Well,
started
no, but my point is, you finally get him. Right. Did you ever say that to him? You know, Reggie, like he said, it's your time. Hey, yeah. You know what? You beat me three times. It's about time. Did you say that to him?
Well, no, because you never know when it's going to be that matchup again.
Right.
You know,
right,
I mean,
right.
Just respect. You don't do that.
It's right. Right.
Even jokingly.
Right.
Because winning a world championship is the ultimate.
Sure.
And you may only get one or two chances. I got five.
Yeah. San Diego, too. That's
yes,
right.
Yes. And, you know, first time they went to the World Series, hit the walk-off against Lee Smith, you know, which more people remember that than almost any one swing I had in my career. And, but those are the respectful moments you have as professionals, whether it's, you know, whether it's sports or media, radio, TV, or life itself, you know. And I was just honored to play the game for almost 19 years and to have been that bat boy sitting on the bench in spring training when I was seven and next to Robinson and Campanella.
That's pretty
and those
good.
Guys.
That's
and
a
now,
great experience. That is
and now
a great
to be
experience.
An ambassador for the game. You know, if you truly understand how blessed you are, to be able to continue to go out and to talk about it and explain it. I mean, I did Fox 11 in Los Angeles pre- and post-game for last year's World Series. And you guys know numbers. We had a 42 share during the game, and we had a 35 after, which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And what people love was I kept it simple because they hadn't been to the World Series in 28 years. So you're talking about a whole generation that hadn't been to a Dodger home World Series game. So I had to explain, I'm just trying to explain the nuances of what was happening and how can Kershaw give up leads of 4-1 and 7-4, this great pitcher, right?
Right.
It's the World Series. This is it, you know. And the final game, we had this great share even after the last game losing it because people wanted to know why.
Right.
And they also wanted to hear me say, and this team will be back next year and they have a great chance of being in the same position, right? Because we're in the memory business.
Sure.
I always say that.
Though it doesn't look that way right now, unfortunately.
Well,
Corey Seager
just
is very
sick
unfortunate.
I mean, there's no greater kid on and off the field and no better talent than this kid. I mean, I've looked at him and I've said Ted Williams' swing and his swing are very, very similar in approaches to the ball.
Mm.
And I haven't been able to say that about anybody.
High praise.
High praise.
You know, but last year a little bit he got caught up trying to hit the ball out. And I had a little talk with him, and I said, come on. He said, where are we going? We're in the dugout. I said, we're going to left field. He said, why? I said, I'm going to introduce you to Mr. Left Field here because you've forgotten. This is where you really should think and live. When you do this, when he takes the outside pitch the other way and the ball over the plate and inside and works with it, he's going to hit her in the game. But guys forget. He did the same thing to Bryce Harper.
Mm. That's pretty cool.
Struggling, pulling out. Right.
Are they receptive? Because I would hope that young players would understand your greatness and say, hey, I want to learn from Steve
Harvey.
Did
they remember you? Because I'm sure there's a lot of guys that don't really remember the past. I mean, I'm sure that happens,
Steve.
That's
why we have Google.
Well, I understand that. But
and YouTube, right? You can watch
it. Well, the kids that this new really good crop of kids, Harper and Seager, Kershaw's a little older, Machado, Arenado, they study the game and they know who you are. And
that's good to hear.
After five girls, I had a couple of boys and they played traveling baseball and we traveled around the country. And I remember these kids, McCullers and these kids. And the kids that maybe had a father play, it helps because the father can then explain, hey, you just met Mr. Garvey, did this and that.
Right, sure.
Right. But if they don't, then the ones that really love it will go back and study it more.
Find out, yeah.
And collect baseball cards. See, the greatest thing about collecting baseball cards is not only to flip them and all this stuff, although we want mint condition now, is to take a look at the back and look at the stats.
Oh, yeah.
Right? A guy that hit 25 home runs, batted 330, and struck out 48 times.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
That's what they did back then.
When 25 home runs meant something. Now, last year, everybody hit 20 home runs. Everybody. I mean, that was ridiculous.
They also struck out 100 times.
Right. Yeah. Well, right.
Yeah. Well, Corey had 120 something strikeouts. I said, this is crazy.
Yeah.
I said, you know what the difference between you and Turner is? And Turner's really made it resurrection.
Oh,
in his
career. Oh, we know.
No, we know. He's the Met. We're Met fans, Steve. We know.
We know.
We know the deal.
Those tearful towels are lying all over the place.
Yes.
But I said he struck out 60 times less than you.
Yeah.
And that's why he's got better numbers. That's why you're saying to yourself, I mean, not any more than I know I'm a better hitter, maybe, you know, all around. But why is he doing better? Is because he's covering the plate and he's putting the ball in play. And he's using his hands. He's not trying to hit every ball out. And, you know, it's just, I mean, when your reaction time and now more guys are averaging higher rates of speed, if you're not quieter at the plate, and what watch a game now and see if a batter loads up before the ball's thrown. As that pitcher starts to come forward, if he hasn't moved back already, it's tough to determine speed, angle, location in 0.4 seconds or less. So if you're not back coiled, ready to go, so that when that ball's released, you can determine that and then make your move, you're going to be tardy, you're going to be late, you're going to strike out.
Mm.
And every now and then, you're going to get a pitch that hits the bat, or you're going to get a ball that's out over the plate, and you're going to hit it out because that's what you've been trained to do, is launch it.
Right.
Not only have you come in and talk baseball with us, but you're feeding us, and right. I appreciate that. And you're feeding all the Yankee fans.
Can it be any more than this?
Yeah.
Kings Hawaiian.
I got to ask you one question.
Wait a second. Did he say Kings Hawaiian?
He did say
at Dodger Stadium.
Yes. And Yankee Stadium.
And Yankee Stadium.
I got to tell you about Dodger Stadium.
Yankee Stadium between home and first.
Dodger Stadium is tremendous.
But what I'm talking about later on in the World Series when the people come out and they'll have to.
That ballpark, Dodgers, it's amazing.
It's phenomenal.
Because it's old, right? It's been around for a long time compared to the other stadiums.
I think it's the oldest. Yeah, between Fenway and Wrigley, right?
Every time I go there, and maybe it's the view, especially when you're in the upper deck.
Yeah, really, it's pretty good.
The view is so phenomenal that it is still a top 10 stadium.
Yeah.
It is still, that towards the top of the list. It's such a great stadium.
We call it the cathedral because that's what it's stately and it sits there. And you come and you play homage. I mean, you do that at Wrigley, right?
Sure.
I mean, nothing more than Wrigley Field because of the ivy and all
right,
that.
Right.
But it's different at Dodger Stadium. It's a West Coast version of that. When you come in, there's a tremendous amount of history that's also been transferred from the Brooklyn era and those guys. And Koufax still comes around, and you got Don Newcomb and Lasorda and Wills, and then the kind of Masters Division guys like myself and Lopes and Say and Russell and those guys. And, you know, so it's always important. The Yankees do a great job of keeping their history around their fans and in front of their fans.
Absolutely.
And if you have it, use it.
No doubt.
Because, like I said before, it's the memory business. And it's the greatest currency we have in life are memories.
Good stuff. Yeah. Great, Steve Garvey. All right, quick, I got to ask you this. Who's the pitcher you like to hit against the most and the guy that gave you the most trouble?
Well, it's going to be interesting. Any lefty I love.
Right.
Let's just face
right.
it. You know,
Sure.
I didn't care.
Even Candelaria, Carlton, you mentioned both of them.
Yeah. They were going to get me, but eventually I was going to get them.
Right.
Usually for power with the bigger guys.
Right.
Right-hander, and I faced 10, 12, 14 Hall of Famers, was Phil Niekro. Everybody thinks it's, you know, Seaver or those guys.
Right, right.
Marischal, Gibson. But it was Niekro because I was a guesstimator. I would watch the pitchers. I watched the pitcher catcher, how they thought, and I would guesstimate, and I got pretty good at it. But with Niekro, it's a knuckleball. He doesn't know what's going. Catcher doesn't know what's going.
Right,
and you're supposed to hit it, right?
Right, right?
Yeah. How do you stop a knuckleball? You pick it up when it hits the back, throw it back to him.
Right.
And there were days when, playing in Atlanta with humidity was great for knuckleball, heavy air. Knuckleball is like the wind blowing out. So a ball that doesn't move going into wind really makes it move more. But there were times when he was almost untouchable. And I was a contact hitter. I'd spread out. I'd get on top of the plate. I'd lean over and hope he hit me.
Right.
I mean,
it's not going to hurt.
I'm giving in, but you never know.
Right.
So, and I would say to him, he'd have 3-0 against Ron Say, throw him a fastball. The Penguin would hit it out.
Mm.
Go to Atlanta, same thing. I said, 3-0, I still get a knuckleball. I mean, why? He says, I'm not going to let you beat me, which I thought was the ultimate compliment.
Sure, sure. Right? Of course it is.
Yeah. Steinbrenner said that one time, and big dinner in Tampa, big Tampa awards dinner, and he gave me the award, and he gave me the ultimate compliment. He said, when we play the Dodgers and you, Garvey, you're not going to beat us. We'll pitch around you, let somebody else.
Right.
Which you're not going to beat, which is the ultimate compliment.
Oh, no question.
But also tells you that in baseball, why it's so tough is they can not let you play with the ball. They can take the ball away from you. They can pitch around you.
Yeah.
Not pitch to you, right? That's the frustrating thing. Look, what a couple years ago, Bryce Harper goes to Chicago.
Yeah, right.
Wouldn't face
right.
him.
They intentionally walk him, what, 9 out of 11 times?
Yeah,
something like that.
And
yeah.
he ends up flying out twice, and that put him in a tailspin because then he got anxious.
Yeah.
Because hitters want to hit.
Right, right.
So if you pitch around them and don't let them hit, they become more frustrated, and their strike zone will expand eventually.
Yeah.
So that's why you got to stay within yourself. And that's why I always said, I'm only as good as the guy hitting behind me. And that'll be a key this year with the Yankees especially.
Absolutely.
Gregorius and Judge and Stanton
yep.
and Sanchez.
Yep. Yep.
Who is hitting and who do you need to put behind him to make sure
right.
they pitch?
Give him a little protection.
Yeah.
Steve, we really appreciate you coming
appreciate
in.
It.
Thanks for the food. And for anyone going to Yankee Stadium or Dodger Stadium, check out King's Hawaiian. It's a nice thing to eat in the middle of the game as you're watching it.
We're capturing summer. Great barbecues, tri-tip, pulled pork, nachos.
Awesome.
Meet me out there, guys.
Beautiful. Great Steve Garvey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.